This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I was recently made aware of a video that Brother Abdulrahman Hassan had made on the permissibility of football or lack thereof. And this video, I found it astounding. Absolutely astounding. And I've just come to the conclusion that there must be a deeper reason why such conclusions are being met. So after I've done the initial prognosis, if you want to call it that, or diagnostic, and once we've quickly just ran through some of the things that he said, I'm going to offer some solutions, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, I'm going to offer some solutions. So the first thing he said was that the reason why football, well, he was saying about football that it has in it الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله وتحكيم قوانين الوضعية, or putting into place laws which are man-made laws against the laws of Islam. Let's take a look at this astonishing and shocking, okay, segment of him speaking about this.
Harmful thing that he has, akhi, is تحكيم القوانين الوضعية. Man-made laws are applied here in the game. For example, first of all, Allah says the Quran, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Okay? The Prophet also said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَحَدٌ يُقَامُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ لِأَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ أَنْ يُمْطَرُوا 30 صَبَاحًا. وفي رواية, إِقَامَةُ حَدٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ لِأَهْلِهَا مِنْ مَطَرِ 40 لَيْلَةً. الإمام النسائي رحمه الله authenticated Ibn Majah. The hadith is Hassan. Sheikh Nasir رحمه الله authenticated the Sisila hadith al-Sahiha. Some scholars have weakened it and others. We're coming to an issue known as الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله, ruling by other than what Allah sent down, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've spoken about this issue. Let's not take it to the, because some of its forms can be kufr akbar. Some of its forms can be kufr akbar. We mentioned
in the podcast we did, yeah.
Yeah, we've done a podcast on it, the forms that it can become kufr akbar. But what's the bare minimum that it is? It's kufr asghar. It's kufr asghar. It's higher than al kabira kabair, major sins.
So where are the man-made laws in football? I don't understand.
Okay, we know in our legislation, what do we have? In our sharia, we have ibadat and mu'amalat.
Mm-hmm.
In our fiqh books, if you look at it, when the scholars speak about fiqh, they divide it into four, or even if you want to say two. Let's make it four. Ibadat, act of worship. Ibadat, then we have al-mu'amalat. In there's buyur, al-nikah, al-talaq, al-fisq, al-khula', all of those are in there. Then you have al-jinayat. Jinayat are crimes that are committed. And then al-hudud, which are capital punishments.
Okay.
Yani punishments for those. Scholars, that's what our legal Islamic legislation revolves around. It talks about after aqidah, these are the things you study in fiqh. Now, football consists of, it's a game of coming into contact with one another.
Yeah.
Okay. When a person attacks another person and breaks a person's bones, or breaks a person's leg, or a person gets injured, or a person puts a finger in a person's eye, do they go to the chapters of al-jinayat and
al-qisas? No, of course.
Do they go al-ayn bil-ayn wal-udhun bil-udhun wal-sinn bil-sinn wal-juruh al-qisas al-yad bil-yad? Do they say that?
No.
What do they, red card rate? Or just go off the pitch? Yellow card, go off the pitch.
Yeah, but that's because it's a game. That's the game. That's the.
But in our religion, we have, it doesn't matter whether it's a game or not. Islam, as you mentioned at the beginning, صَالِحَةُ لِكُلِّ زَمَانِ وَمَكَانِ. Islam governs everything. It conforms to everything. Our religion enters every minute thing. You go to the toilet, you're told how to clean yourself.
I'm absolutely astounded by that. Because here, the assumption, let's say why he's wrong, okay? The assumption is that, for example, they're playing football and someone gets injured to the point where one of their limbs gets amputated, which rarely happens. Or, okay, their bones get broken, which sometimes does happen, right? That the punishment is going to be automatic removal of the game, red card, whatever it is. And he says that this goes against the Islamic laws, which indicate that, you know, whatever it is, qisas has to be given, basically, which you can see in the Kutub al-Fiqh, in the Bab of Jinayat. How pathetic. Sorry. How is that a contradiction when, if it's an Islamic state, the person, the claimant, can actually still make the claim and he'll have video evidence to suggest that the person actually hurt them. If anything, football, if it's being recorded, will help the retribution of justice if that particular court decides to take videographic evidence. I don't see how there is a mukhalafa or ta'arud. And why is it assumed that a referee should have, and think about this for a second, why should the referee have the powers to do hudud or punishments or ta'zirat or whatever it may be? Just think before you speak. Just think. This is absolutely diabolical. This is absolutely diabolical. Where he talks about not getting along with or not loving, not being able to love a people of different faiths and religion. Let's take a look at what he has to say.
The middle line, who's offside, any penalty, where it's shot from. All of these are administrative. This
okay,
is fine.
Good. Okay,
this.
With you.
We're talking about qawaneen tukhalifu hukm Allah Ta'ala. They go against the laws of Allah Ta'ala, which the football players are forced to follow. For example, some of them, and I'm going to expand on some of them. For example, some of the laws that that they go into is the player is made to love his football player team member, even if he's of different religion.
It doesn't have to. Of course, it doesn't have to.
How are you playing with you? How are you playing?
It's just like your colleague. You're at work. You've got a non-Muslim colleague. Doesn't mean you have to love him. You work together. Of course, you're working. It's a job for them. Some of them even come out saying we don't get along, but it's a job. Years later, they had big rifts. You didn't realize these two guys.
Okay, I'm agree with you. Two or three people he might not get along with. No problem. But he can't get along with the entire team members. He has to get along.
What you've mentioned is no different to me in my corporate job in my company. I've got non-Muslims that I have to work with them. I'm like some of them.
No. You can come into your work and do your work and leave. It's got nothing to do. You don't even know your team members and your people you're working with. Here, it's a team thing. I need to know who the striker is. The goalkeeper needs to know the and yeah. You have to be.
No, I don't agree with this point. You're part of a.
Happens when a Muslim marries a Christian or a Jew. What happened with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبَتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. If al-hubb al-tabi'i, love that's not relating to the religion, natural love, between people from different faiths, is haram, then the Prophet fell into haram. And we will see how your methodologies and how your statements are so totally against the Sunnah and the Qur'an that I'm shocked, with all due respect, that you had the absolute audacity to come out and speak in the manner that you have on a topic like this. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you may say about Allah which you don't even know. I'm shocked that someone who spent so much time, I can't hold it in, and I'm not going to lie to anyone here. I don't want to backbite this man behind his back. I'm going to tell you guys exactly what I think. This shows, with all due respect, the difference, the important difference between someone who studies and regurgitates and memorizes knowledge and someone who thinks and contemplates. There's no better kind of example we can get for this. How can you come to these conclusions? How can you? Well, praising disbelievers. And he's indicating that, well, look, he's not saying, I'm not going to go into the permissibility of it or lack thereof. He says, what I am going to say is, I can't see how someone can bring themselves to praise someone who basically is a disbeliever, and he mentions a few traits. So let's see what he says on this matter and come back.
That's something for the women. Men are imitating the women in this matter.
You know, speaking about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm sorry to go back to something we were discussing earlier. But you mentioned a hadith to me yesterday, which I'd like to bring forward, inshallah. We're talking about the way we look up to, or some of the Muslims look up to, non-Muslim footballers and things like that. Are you allowed to praise a non-Muslim? Say he's so good at football.
There's a hadith that scholars talk about its authenticity, like in discussion back and forth regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "لا تقولوا للمنافقين سيدا فإن إن يكن سيدا فقد خطم ربكم." Don't say a munafiq or a disbeliever is a master or good, or don't praise him. فَإِنَّوْ إِنْ يَكُوا سَيِّدًا. If he is, then فَقَدْ أَسْخَطُمْ رَبُّكُمْ, you've angered your Lord. You're not allowed to praise him and speak highly of him.
So if the hadith is authentic,
Some of the scholars have authenticated. There's a look of back and forth to it. But the point is, I don't want to press my argument on that. I'm saying, even if there was a Shara'i prohibition on this issue, I can't. Someone who said Allah hasn't got a child, Allah has a child, sorry.
Mm.
Someone who doesn't believe in Allah's existence, someone who doesn't even worship Allah, tabaraka ta'ala, who disobeys Allah after He created him and brought him into this world, I honestly can't speak greatly and highly and glorify him like that. I can't. Just my heart won't allow me.
If someone says insulted your mother, your own mother, you wouldn't
or even dismisses your mother's value and his importance.
Yeah, or you wouldn't like him in any way, shape, or form. You'd have enmity towards him. What about Allah? And now you're saying this guy's such a good player. I want to watch him. I like the way he plays.
Also, the concept of backbiting. Yeah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. يعني ده.
Now, this is absolutely diabolical, and this is مخالفة للسنة. He's mentioning a hadith which he says, oh, the authenticity of it is, we don't know whether it's strong or weak. Well, let me give you three hadiths which we know the authenticity is strong. Number one, Mut'im ibn Adi, who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly, absolutely explicitly said, had he been alive, I would have asked Allah to forgive these people. So this is a kind of praise. But you might say no. So you guys mentioned the philosophers. Why are you mentioning the philosophers when you have Quran and Sunnah? Why are you mentioning the thinkers and so on? Why are you mentioning Aristotle? Why are you mentioning Plato? Well, I want to tell you something today that maybe you did not know. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned a bait of shar. He mentioned a line of shar from a man called Labid, who was a non-believer before the time of Islam. And he mentioned ما خل الله باطله or something to this effect, that whatever is aside Allah is in vain, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he done istidlal, but he mentioned it and he said this is the truest thing a poet has said. Why even mention it if there's no utility value in so doing? Why even mention Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu? Amr ibn al-As, he praised the Romans. He said that they're the quickest to recover. He actually mentioned so many characteristics. He said they're the quickest to recover after a defeat. One of the things that he mentioned of many things. So you can't bring yourself to praise disbelievers, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba could. Either you are better than them, or you don't understand them, and you don't understand the religion fully. And this is why I want to offer my services. I don't want to just tell you, I don't mean this to Allah, we're not trying to arrogate to you. I just don't want to backbite you. I want to say this so everyone can hear it. I don't want to say it to friends and family. Oh, look at this guy. He doesn't know this and doesn't know that. I'm making fun of you behind your back. I'd rather you see this and make it public. But I do want to offer my services. Yeah, I think that what's due is like a crash course in critical thinking. And I think that if we humble ourselves to each other, maybe we can teach each other certain things. The Salaf used to say, لا يتعلم العلم مستحي ولا متكبر. There are two kinds of people that don't learn the knowledge. Shy person and an arrogant person. I would say, please take my offer up. We'll work closely with you, okay, to try and develop critical reasoning skills. And hopefully you can start applying those in your fatwas.